name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's hear St. Paul's words from our epistle reading from Ephesians in chapter 5, where he instructs us, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Today, on this third Sunday of Lent, it's a day for us to be reminded, we need to be careful that we don't walk in an unbalanced way throughout Lent. In an unbalanced way. What do I mean by that? I think sometimes when we think of the season of Lent, and while we're fasting and we're praying, and then going through the rhythm of Lent, we tend to focus most of our thoughts, most of our time, most of our energies, overcoming our sins and coming out of the ways of our fallen nature. Now please hear me. That must be, by God's grace and guidance and mercy, an absolute necessary part of this healing season. But it's not the fulfillment of all that God wants to do in this healing season. It must be part of it, not all of it. And that's where we get a little unbalanced sometimes. Today, we need to be reminded that the true nature of repentance is not one motion alone, but two motions that occur at the same time in our lives, all at once. It is most certainly, indeed, turning away from the ways that we're not like God, from our fallenness, from our sinfulness. That's one of the motions. But at the same time, not one after the other, at the same time, it is a turning to God, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness in our lives. And His righteousness does not exist in a vacuum. His righteousness is shown in His actions towards those He loves so very dearly, all of us. His divine love, His divine righteousness, His very nature manifests itself through actions on behalf of someone else. Love is manifest through doings and actions. So we might say that Lent is two things all at once. It is a turning away from those actions that are rooted in our fallenness, falling short of the divine nature of God, turning away from sin. It is that motion. But at the same time, it is deciding by our will, aided by the divine power of God that we call grace, to step out and do good works of righteousness that are rooted in the divine nature of God, to move towards Him in order to participate with Him towards others in His divine nature. In Lent, we rediscover that repentance that heals the soul and inaugurates the true transformation of the human person that we call salvation is both a turning away from and a turning to all at once. It's a both and. St. Paisios reminds us of this. This is about our Christianity, not just Lent, but our Christianity in total. Our goal is to rise spiritually, not simply to avoid sin. To rise spiritually toward God, becoming our true selves, not just to avoid sin. And St. Paul is well known for his many writings for saying this very truth that were being handed to us this morning. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, he tells every living stone filled with the Holy Spirit in the church, he says, put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of our mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. But then with a singular thought, he continues, not a separate thought, a singular thought, he continues, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And you see what Paul says, there is the fullness of repentance we're being reminded of today. The turning from and the turning to all at once, the putting off and the putting on, all in one Christian life, one Christian movement towards God. You know, one of the greatest lies that Satan builds in us, I've dealt with this many times over in my life, I'm sure you have too. It's this lie, that no good work of our Lord Jesus Christ can be done through you until you're perfectly sinless. What good thing, look at yourself, what good thing can God do through that? This is the lie of Satan. Now, here's the truth he's twisting. It's true that when we are steeped in our sin nature and we're not pursuing the healing work of God, the good deeds of Christ are limited. We limit them by walking those directions. That's true. But the idea that no good work of Jesus Christ can be done in and through us until we're perfectly sinless, what a clever, clever deceit. One that keeps us in absolute spiritual paralysis. A deceit that keeps us looking only at what we are in that present moment, but never glancing towards Christ to see the joy and the hope of what we can be, what we've actually been created to be, and the very reason our Lord Jesus Christ completed his finished work, that we could ascend to that very identity. Today we need to rebalance the scales in our walk through Lent. We do so with these first words of the Apostle Paul, telling us to be imitators of God as dear children. Now, believe it or not, every one of us in this room, we were all children once, right? And as children, you'll remember this. You mimicked your parents. What you saw of them, you mimicked, you imitated. All of us have seen that in our lives and the lives of our family. And that idea ought to strike great fear as it does in me and every parent. Because I do not want my children mimicking some of those ways I've not yet come out of my fallenness. I don't want them to mimic that. I want them to mimic the healing work of Christ that was done in my lives. But this is what Paul is calling all of us to. As children, to live a life mimicking our Heavenly Father, who is so perfectly manifest in the person of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a theme that runs all the way through every generation of the teachings of the church, handed down to us in this great deposit of faith that teaches us this, that we become that which we do. You didn't hear me say we become that wonderful message we thought about. We become that which we do. We're talking about the synergy between God and man, the cooperation in the work of salvation in the life of the Christian. Let me show you where this happens in the life of St. Peter as an example for us of becoming what we do. Our patron saint, St. Peter, you'll remember him in the boat filled with anxiety with the rest of the disciples when the waves were crashing down on that small boat in the great storm on the Sea of Galilee, riddled with fears and anxieties, and Jesus invites him to come out of the boat, to come above it, to walk above those circumstances where Jesus was currently residing. That was his posture. But remember this, the miracle did not happen with Peter listening to the invitation, pondering it, thinking about it, and sitting on his derriere in the boat still. The miracle did not happen then. Peter accepted the invitation with motion. He moved towards Christ. He got up. He took a step of faith that I dare say you and I might not have had. To step out of the boat, entrusting himself to God. When he moved, when he did that work, there the grace was. And there he was elevated to where Christ was standing above all of those things. That's when the miracle happened. That's when he was elevated to a better condition. The synergy between the Lord and us, our cooperation with God and His salvific work. This is the will of man moving towards in perfect agreement with the will of God in our lives. And when that happens, the word impossible loses absolutely any power or meaning in the language of the kingdom of God. There is no impossible when we join our will to the will of God by movement of ourselves towards Him. In other words, Do you want to grow in your life and be more like God in His mercy? Then act. Then step out of the boat. Then when someone offends you, or with someone who's offended you in the past, step out of the boat in just the mere feeble attempt of our humanity to show them mercy. And as you step out of the boat, there the grace will be. And God's mercy itself will fill you in that moment. And in that moment, you will become a participator in His divine nature, and you will go away from that having been elevated more like Him. Do you want to be freed from the bondage of your financial controls and your greed and not trusting God that you will have everything that you need at any moment in your life? Then find someone who has far less than you. Find someone who is in need. Find that need and decide to fill it from the little that you have. And as you step out of that boat to give help to someone, you will be raised out of your own bondage, and the Lord will fill you with the joy that He has as He provides for us. He will fill you with His divine nature. You will share in it, and from that experience, you will become charitable, as our Heavenly Father is so infinitely charitable. You've seen the idea. We become that which we do. We must walk in the grace that we're given in Lent to imitate the divine nature of our Heavenly Father, to imitate the actions of our Lord Jesus Christ toward others. And as we do, we become what we're practicing by His grace and healing work in our lives. Our sin, while we must come out of it as part of that motion, our sin does not have to be overcome completely in our lives before any good work of Christ can be done. If that was the case, you wouldn't have 2,000 years of testimony of the continuing ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ through every broken individual not yet totally healed and still steeped in sin. Even the saints would tell you this. They would stare in disbelief at what God would do through them because they knew what was still in their life. And yet the very good works of Jesus Christ done through Him were being done through their lives. We have to cast that deception away. You see, it is our sin diminishing and becoming overcome as we both turn away from those things of our fallenness and at the same time move towards Christ, stretching ourselves to imitate Him and trusting that grace will be there when we do so. That's the balance prescribed for us in Lent, that if we walk in it in Lent, we will grow to live it in the seasons beyond until we come back to Lent again and grow more. Listen to the words again of St. John Chrysostom, talking about Lent and also talking about our fasting. Do you fast? Then feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Go visit the sick. Comfort those who grieve and who weep. Be merciful, humble, kind, calm, forgiving, so that God might accept your fasting and might plentifully grant you the blessed fruits of repentance. And I will tell you this, the more we step out and experience Christ working through us, there is no greater joy than the moments in which we participate in His divine nature. Because we experience the joy and the presence of God Himself, and in doing so, we are elevated out of and beyond our fallenness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.